Professor, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Welcome back to the Church Planner Podcast. Peyton Jones here with you, and I've got a guest on here, one of the people that I have admired for years. And as I even look at what I'm about to say about him, I have to tell you, my first book that I read in the missional field was a book called On the Verge. And I'm here with the author of that book of On the Verge. I just come back from Europe. After 12 years as a missionary, coming back to America, finding out about this thing called Exponential, and realizing, man, I need to know these people. I hadn't even been to the conference yet. Of course, by now you've guessed that I'm sitting here with Dave Ferguson, founding pastor of Community Christian Church, founder of Exponential, CEO and president of it, and author of multiple books, including The Big Idea, Exponential, On the Verge, Finding Your Way Back to God, Starting Over, Hero Maker, and probably my favorite, Dave, which is Bless. So welcome, man.
Hey, good to be here, Peyton. How you doing?
Hey, really good to be here. You actually, in a weird way, used to be my boss.
Kind of.
By proxy.
Okay, yeah, I was like, kind of, yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I still knew not to prank you on April 1st, which this is today. So, guys, we're not going to have any pranks for you today, all right? Everything we're saying here is 100% true. But I've got Dave on here to talk about his brand new book, which just dropped at the Exponential Conference. It is called Multiplier, How Healthy Leaders Create Lasting Impact. So, Dave, welcome, man, and excited you wrote the book. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. And like you, because you got to also release your book at the conference, so congratulations.
Thank you. We were book twins, you know, like two ladies in the hospital. I don't know what it is. I prayed something about pregnant ladies giving birth. I don't know what this is. Hopefully Sue doesn't have a surprise for you today. You'll know it's an April Fool's prank, but
that's right.
But we were like both giving birth. That's what it feels like when a book comes out.
Well, it was same day too, wasn't it?
Yeah, same day.
Yeah.
Same publisher. Same conference.
I mean, let's be honest too. I mean, to have a church planning conference like Exponential where you get to release a book that's really kind of a lap about the mission or about church planting and multiplying. I mean, it's a pretty good spot to start a book.
It's the sweet spot, brother. And thank you for your kindness towards the book, because I know you've been a champion of it, and you have you included it in the Exponential series, which is a huge honor for
and
me.
And I wrote the foreword for it. I'm a believer.
You did, man. You did. I quote you multiple times in there, which is kind of cool. But you wrote Multiplier, and it's a unique book. I mean, this is a book that kind of swings the lens around and says, hey, if you're going to multiply, you need to be healthy. And I'll never forget you standing on stage a couple years ago. And I quote this actually in Discipology, how your friend had said, what kind of churches are you going to be multiplying? And I've just got to guess that somewhere this is connected. The reason you wrote this book the way you did. So most people who talk about multiplication talk about that and health of the multiplier as separate subjects, but you combine them. Why do they need to be connected?
I mean, really early in the book, I think it's right there in the foreword, and it's intentionally redundant throughout, is this idea, which I've tried to live by, and it's this: you're going to reproduce who you are and what you do. And sometimes I'll be in conversations like this, or I'm on a podcast, and you've been in these settings too, where if you're teaching a workshop or somewhere, or someone's interviewing you, and they'll say, hey, well, if you got one takeaway, one thing you want to challenge people with, one thing you want to leave people with, I will almost always come back to that. I want leaders to live with a consistent, chronic, ongoing, painful awareness that you're going to reproduce who you are and what you do. And basically, the who you are part is your character, okay, your inner world. And then what you do are the practices that you do in your external world. And so, in the book, you can almost break it up into two different sections. It does. It deals with the inner world and the outer world. And even the definition that we have for a multiplier, we define a multiplier as a healthy disciple-making leader that champions reproduction. And there may have been an era where you wouldn't have actually had to say the healthy part out loud. It just would have been understood. Mm-hmm. But I could tell stories about this, but there's so many leaders who have tried to do the Jesus mission in an unhealthy way.
Yep.
It just felt like we had to make it explicit. Like, no, a multiplier is a healthy disciple-making leader that champions reproduction.
No, and I'm so glad you did it because I think, you know, I mean, when you say there was a time, it definitely was before my time. And I started ministry in the early 90s. And, you know, I didn't really hear that. And I watched people in the movement I was in really sacrifice themselves on the altar, you know, so to speak, of sacrifice and service, but not in the way Paul did, because Paul was single, you know, he was out there and he said, I have privileges some of you don't have, and I'm able to go out here and pour myself out like this. But we forget that those who have families, like how Paul says, you know, you've got to please the Lord and your spouse. I mean, the recommendation or the requirement even for leadership is, hey, you got to manage your house well. Like, it speaks to balance. And I love that you've got that in this book, so that you're giving permission for people to maybe do some self-care and not feel bad about it.
Yeah. I mean, and in the book, we make the point over and over again, and not just, self-care is good and it's an important thing, but it's not just about yourself.
Right.
Because like if you're leading anything, you're leading a small group, you're leading a missional community, you're leading a church, or you happen to be a movement leader or a network leader of some kind too. If you want the people in those organizing principles I just described to have healthy marriages, then you need to do your best to have a healthy marriage. If you want them to be like good dads and good moms, I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but they got to know that, hey, you're also striving to be a really good dad and a really good mom. And because I think at the core, a multiplier really is you begin to understand yourself as a culture creator. You are creating culture, and you create culture by what you do and how you live. And I mean, one simple, really simple example is, and this is where it really began to become apparent to me, planted Community Christian Church in Chicago. And when my daughter Amy came around, I was already, and then we had two little boys after that. And it was already kind of apparent, because I love sports. And so it was already apparent, I'm playing catch with the boys, even when they're little dudes. And you know, so sports is going to be a connection with them. Mm-hmm. But you got this little girl that you adore, but you're going, okay, so what's the connection there? And so it was, I think in kindergarten, first grade, we started doing like a daddy-daughter date. And so once a week, you know, I would take her. At first it was Dunkin' Donuts, then eventually it was, you know, I think Caribou Coffee. Then when she started in high school working at Starbucks, it was at Starbucks because she got a discount.
Nice.
And but the weird part is occasionally, you know, you'd post something on social media about being out with your daughter. But then I started noticing like other dads in the church, they started dating their daughters.
Mm.
And that's when it was like, I wanted to do it for Amy and I wanted to do it for me. But that's when it also occurred to me, hold it, no, you reproduce both who you are and what you do. And that is a big part of that, the first part of the book, for the mission's sake. Yeah, do it to take care of yourself, because God does want you to have that kind of a life, but also for the sake of the mission, do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, man. I love that you're reproducing the right kind. You know, you are a multiplier, but you want to multiply the life that you have. It's really good. Well, in the book, you talk about four gauges of a multiplier. Can you unpack those for us?
Yeah, sure can. And again, maybe backing up a little bit too, because we start with the premise of the book that if you're a follower of Jesus, then you've invited Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit into your life, the Spirit of Christ. Christ lives in you. The Bible says that over and over again. And if that's true, and I believe it is true, then everything that's needed, this is kind of, it's going to sound like hyperbole, exaggeration, but it's the truth. Everything that's needed for world transformation exists inside every one of us. So there's literally movement-making DNA inside of us once we invite Jesus into our life.
Nice.
Now, what do you do with that? And it's in the first chapter, I love it because we tell a lot of stories. I tell a story about a guy named Ivan Mariway. I don't know if you got to meet Ivan when he was at Exponential a couple of years ago.
No.
He's a church planter. I mean, he had a church of 35 people. I won't steal the whole story because so they'll go read it. But it's in him, okay? He didn't fully realize it. He ends up, okay, through discipling others and over the course of a few years, actually leading a pro-democracy movement that overthrows the dictator in Zimbabwe, a guy named David Mugabe, who'd been just destroying that country for 30 years.
Wow.
But it was in him. It was in him. Now,
amazing.
I mean, I can go other places too. I'm thinking about Mimi Chan. Mimi Chan works for Amazon. Okay, she works for Amazon. She started 100 different chapters. She calls them chapters. I'd call them churches. They're small churches. Okay, 100 of these at Amazon. And, you know, you'll love this part too. How much do you think that cost? The donut, right? Zero. Yep. But it's in her, okay? It's in her. Now, I think all of that's in us. And there's different levels of capacity by gifting. Some 10, some 100, some 1,000. But we can, just in plain language, we can totally screw it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's where I call it, we drift. And I was in a small group, and you've heard me tell this story, but maybe some of your listeners haven't. I was in a small group with pastors of the largest churches in the Chicago area, and names that everybody would recognize were in that group, a remarkable group. Long story short, if I tried to pull that group together again today, probably half the chairs would be empty.
Wow.
And part of it is they had that same thing inside them. And the way I describe it in the book is they drifted.
Yeah.
They drifted, ended up someplace they never intended to be. They ended up in a hotel room with someone other than their wife.
Wow.
Or they ended up doing things with money that at one point they wouldn't have ever thought, no, how, I would never do that.
Right.
Or they created toxic cultures that they benefited from. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
And
so good.
And nobody, I mean, I've never met a young church planter who came to me and said, you know what, I hope 15 years from now, I'm 50 pounds overweight, I've divorced my wife, and I've compromised all my core convictions.
Wow.
Nobody dreams that.
Mm-mm.
But you drift one day at a time, one week, one month. And so back to your question, what are these gauges? There's four gauges: relational, physical, mental, and spiritual. And pretty consistently for the last probably 15 plus years, I've tried to diligently check and reflect how I'm doing on each of these gauges on a daily basis. And this is the part that's going to sound like an infomercial, okay? But I'm telling you, it's true. If you'll spend just 1 minute on each of those four gauges every day, just reflecting, how am I doing relationally? You know, think about your spouse, your kids, your friends. How am I doing physically? Whatever it is for you, we're wired different ways. For some people, it's running. For some people, it's lifting. For some people, it's a sport. Whatever it is, how am I doing mentally? How am I doing with anxiety? How am I doing with depression? I would also lapse into, I think that's also can be like learning. How am I doing staying, you know, on top of what's happening in culture and the world, learning. So the mental gauge.
Yep.
And then the last one, spiritually, what's going on between me and God?
So good.
If you'll just spend 1 minute every day reflecting on how you're doing, and is this going to be on video too?
Yeah, we actually do record the video, so we can make a video version available.
I may have shown you this before, but since we're talking about it, so where'd it go? Yeah.
If you guys want to check on this, you're listening and you want to see what Dave's talking about, head on over to our YouTube channel, New Breed Training, and we'll pop this on there and you can just.
There you go. I hope I'm not showing anything that's confidential here. So this is.
Oh, your bank account is, and your social security. This.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I keep those things separate from me.
Deposit money into that account. So you can see, I mean, this is today. So relational, physical, mental, spiritual. I write RPMS on my iPad.
Yeah.
And then I put a little gauge there and it kind of like, how am I doing? And I like doing this. I also give myself a score.
I love it.
So relationally, I'm doing pretty good because Sue and I were just gone for a week after Exponential hanging out. So we hung out with friends. We went out with friends for dinner last night, had a great time. So I'm a 7.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's on a scale of 1 to 10. Physically, I had a great week last week, but then the last few days I didn't get out running. So now it's slipped to a 4. Okay. Mentally, how am I doing? I'm doing pretty good. It's a little above average, 6. I had a dream day. That's one of the things I'm trying to do a better job of.
Nice.
Not a dream day, a dream hour last Friday.
Nice.
And then spiritually, I missed journaling yesterday. So I gave myself a 4.
Okay.
And so 7, 4, 6, 4, and I actually give my levels of self a composite score there of 5.25. And that's actually down from yesterday. You can see the little arrow going down. This, I'm telling you, this only took me about 4 minutes to do.
It's great.
And it's just an intention of just trying to tell myself the truth about how I'm doing. Now, here's where this really helps though, because we will lie to ourselves.
Yeah.
But if you'll also find a group of people, okay, for those of you that, you know, you have real jobs, you're not pastors. you know, it could be your small group. For those of you that are pastors, we're encouraging every pastor, you need to be in a network. And if you're not in a network, start a network. And that's basically a small group for pastors.
Mm.
Meet every month. Review the RPMs.
It's great.
Review this. Because for me, this is that the internal gauges that kind of like say, okay, you're going to reproduce who you are. Does that make sense? That's kind of it in a nutshell.
Totally awesome, man. And I just want to speak into this for a second. During the toughest time in my life, and certainly the toughest time in the life of 3 other leaders, we met for 3 years and did the RPMs. One young pastor had just discovered that his son with Down syndrome would never be verbal. He'd never get to have a conversation with his son. Another pastor had just lost his 2-year-old to brain tumor, to cancer. The third gentleman is no longer with us. He got diagnosed with a terminal disease. And I had just adopted my second child who had, out of a NICU, had incredible physical challenges, which is that's why I can't be a big rock star and jet set and travel all over, because it keeps me close to home and grounded. But the reality is, brother, RPMs got me through. Like,
oh, wow.
I don't know where I would be. It was the toughest time. It put a strain on my marriage. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that.
Yeah.
But like, brother, it was tough, man. It was the toughest in those RPMs with those 3 guys. It was 6 o'clock every Monday morning, saw us through. And I just did a conference with them like a month ago. And when we see each other, we're all spread out now, different parts of the country. When we see each other, it's emotional. Like it's just
That's
such
awesome.
A bond.
That's
so
awesome.
I just want to say that for you guys listening.
And here's the thing too. I mean, exactly what you're saying. I mean, as leaders, we're gonna drift. Sometimes by our own volition, we drift, our own bad choices.
Yeah.
But sometimes life circumstances, it's like it kind of pushes you out to sea. And if you don't have some other people to anchor you and go like, no, come on back,
yeah,
like you had, you're not gonna make it.
No. That's it. It's so important, Dave. So again, thank you for writing this. Guys, the book is called Multiplier, How Healthy Leaders Create Lasting Impact. Of course, the author is Dave Ferguson. We're talking. Dave, I want to ask another question. After the gauges, you then write about the 4 practices of a multiplier. Can you tell us what those are?
Yeah. Yes. And this is what picks up after the gauges, because for you to really have the kind of impact that God wants you to have, I mean, you're going to have to do this. It's not a 3-year thing. It's not a 5-year thing. I mean, for a lot of you, though, this is a 20, 30, 40 years. And if you will do this for 20, 30, 40 years, like the book kind of advertised, you can. I promise you, guarantee, you'll make a lasting impact. There will be like a wave of influence and impact and difference making that'll be behind you. So what the four gauges do is I think they help you keep in step with the spirit of Jesus that's inside you that really does wants to multiply the unique things that he's put inside you through other people. So then what are the four external practices that go along with the four internal gauges? The four external practices, these are again, like the gauges, very simple to understand, but you'll spend the rest of your life doing them. And if you will do them and then teach other people to do them, fundamentally, this is the stuff of movement making. All right. So the first practice is make disciple makers. And I mean, Peyton, you could riff on this longer than me, but I'll say simply this. On that first one, I think the best way to know if you're doing this, you're making disciple makers, really simply, can you name someone who would say they're being discipled by you? And would that same person say that you're discipling them? It's pretty much, if you can name them and they would name you, okay, then it's actually happening. But that's the first thing. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Hey, come follow me. Come and hang out with me. Let me show you what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Then the second one is you establish spiritual communities. Now, I use a lot of generic terms because I personally, I don't care if it's a small group. I don't care if it's a missional community. I don't care if it's an LTG group. I don't care what you call it. Make up any name you want. But relationships are the catalyst for spiritual growth. Just like your story, you talked about, man, what got you through those few years? It was those few guys talking about the RPMs together. Jesus did the exact same thing. Come follow me. And he put them in this small group. And they did life together. Because relationships are a catalyst for life change. And that's what you're going to do. And you remember, those are the first two practices. Then the third practice is you mobilize new leaders. After you spent time with him, you're going to notice there's some of the people in that group, they could be leading this thing, this group themselves. And so you're going to release them. You're literally going to pray for them, commission them, send them out. And they're going to actually do the same stuff that you've been doing, where they're going to go, oh, I'm going to make some disciple makers. I'm going to establish a spiritual community, but you give them permission to do it. And then the fourth practice, again, same stuff Jesus did, right? Because he sent them out two by two, mobilized new leaders. Then right before he leaves in Acts, he establishes a church. And some of the people that you're going to send out have the capacity to launch what I call launch church expressions. And again, I use a more generic term because I don't care what kind of church. It could be micro, macro, meta. We need all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. Mm. And we need to give people permission to do that. So if you'll just watch those four internal gauges and then say, you know what, here's the four things that I do. I make disciple makers. So I establish spiritual communities. I mobilize new leaders and I help them launch church expressions. And then I teach them to do the same thing. Mm. And I'm telling you, you know this is true. Peyton, you've been around long enough. If you do that stuff and you teach other people to do that, all of a sudden you look over your shoulder and there's dozens, even hundreds, in some cases, thousands or tens of thousands of not just people, but churches you've been able to help start. And I know it sounds like it can't be that easy. Again, I don't want to undersell it. It's hard to do because you're talking about a lifetime, but it's not hard to understand.
When you were saying that, Dave, like I was just... You know, I'm not being a freaky weirdo when I say this, nor am I trying to be hyper spiritual, but I actually started feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit as you were saying that, yeah. Which is kind of rare on a podcast, but that is so God's heart, brother. That is so everything you're saying, like my apostolic heart is like beating right now. Like, yes, that's it. You just got me excited. That's all.
All right, let's go. Let's go do it.
All right. Well, okay, and that's so cool, man, because I just want to just reemphasize, guys, Dave has been a practitioner of all this. If you look at what Community Christian has done in Chicago and in the church planning and how open-handed Dave is, Chuck Smith was this way, where you would just come to Chuck Smith and say, hey, I want to do this. Brian Sanders this way. Dave is an apostolic empower, enabler, equipper. And so out of his ministry have come all of these things. And I, you know, my mind goes back to something that Mac Lake loves to ask leaders. He loves to ask, what's it like being led by you? And when you're talking about all of this, from the time you first started talking about this, Dave, where you were describing, you know, how you would go out to eat with, you know, your daughter, daddy-daughter date, it's disciple-making. Everything you're saying is disciple-making. It's just, it's multiplying yourself as a disciple. But when you're multiplying yourself as a multiplier, like that's like, that's like, that's in game right there, right? Because when everybody starts, they think of, oh, I'm going to multiply myself as a disciple. But that's, I think that's where Paul gets to. He starts actually trying to multiply churches on this first missionary journey, realizes, oh, wait a second, that's not what Jesus did. I got a Galatian heresy because I skipped a step. And then he... Then he starts gathering on a second missionary all these people and starts building teams because of exactly what you're saying. We need each other. Can't be a lone ranger at this. Then when he's multiplying the hubs, he's multiplying multipliers. Out of Ephesus, Epaphras goes and plants three churches. He can now die because he went back and learned how to multiply disciples. And I always think of it like this. Paul shifted on that second missionary journey from planting churches to planting people. And that's what I see multipliers really saying. You can't multiply churches if you can't multiply people, if you can't multiply out of your own life.
And I 100%. And if anybody's been around in the exponential kind of our community too, one of our big dreams and hopes and prayers, what we call the 16% mission, because we want to see 16% of all churches in the United States become reproducing, multiplying. Now you might go like, why 16%? It's not because we want 84% of them to not do it. No, it's because 16%, if you can get 16% of anything, this comes from the diffusion of innovation.
Yeah.
It'll influence the whole.
Yes.
And so if we, and then everybody will get influenced by this. And so if we can get 16%, okay, that's the game changer. Now, back to your point, how do you actually get 16% to influence the whole? I think it does. We have to have Christ followers begin to identify themselves as multipliers.
Yeah.
I'm not just someone who's a Christian. I'm not just someone who follows Jesus, but inside me, it's in every one of us. It's in you is a multiplier.
Yeah,
you were meant to make disciples who make disciples.
Amen.
Now, again, some folks are going to have bigger capacity than others, and it's going to be in different arenas, a different expression, but we're all meant to do that. And so if we can get everybody doing that, I think that gets us way down the road of actually seeing that happen.
Absolutely. Well, you talk along these same lines. Our conversation is leading directly into what you write about in the book, the five milestones of a multiplier. The start, strength, stride, scale, and sage. How do you recognize those five, and why are they important?
Do you remember Robert Clinton's book, The Making of a Leader?
Yep.
Okay, so in some ways, if your listeners haven't done that, they ought to, before they read either one of our books, they ought to go read that one.
Yeah, yeah.
He does a great job just talking about really different, the development of every leader. And he gives some biblical examples. He gives some historical Christian examples. It's just a great treatment of that. In some ways, what I did in the later chapters of Multipliers, I took kind of that idea that he had of this making of a leader, and I really applied it to an apostolic kind of leader, a multiplier. And my own story, my own experience, and my own observations. And so these five phases are what I just call them, the life map of a multiplier. And so I kind of use the metaphor of a marathon, because again, if you're going to be a multiplier, a healthy leader who creates a lasting impact, this is going to happen over the course of 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It's not going to happen overnight. So this thing's a marathon, not a sprint. And so the first stage is start. And that's where the gun goes out. There's the gun sounded, you know, okay, the race is beginning. There's a lot of adrenaline there. And quite frankly, one of the worst things you can do if you've ever run a marathon is go out too strong. You go out too strong, you're going to pay later on. So you can't do that. In this start stage, usually there's a defining moment where you're going like, oh, this is who I'm supposed to be. I remember for me when I was in college and I began to wrestle with the question, what are you going to trade your life for? Ultimately, I came down to, you know what? The best way I can make the biggest difference is through starting a church that's going to start churches, that's going to start churches. And that was a defining moment. That happens in that start phase. And you also, in that start phase, when you first get to start, you also kind of start, you find your tribe. And there's probably a group of people that feel similarly about things like you do, and you find an affinity and you get courage from those people. And for me, it was, you know, my brother John, my wife Sue, and a couple friends from college. And that's who started Community Together. There were some other powerful influences, but that start phase, defining moment and finding your tribe, are a big deal. And then the second stage is where I would call it strength. And strength is where, you know, you're now on the marathon, you get to a certain point and you're going like, okay, I think I can do this. You're starting to feel pretty good. It's still early on. As regards to a multiplier though, that's where the first disciples start to multiply. Like, I remember having my first small group, the guy who was my apprentice leader was a guy who wasn't even a believer, but he had what I called spiritual momentum. So I was like, all right, let's do it. And we met, eventually he said yes to Jesus. I had a chance to baptize him, and then he reproduced and started his own small group. And so when you start to see that happening, okay, that's a sign that you're now in phase two, strength. And in some ways, I would say that for me was probably the first 10 years at Community. And even to the place where we not only were reproducing leaders and groups, but also sites. And we started going multiple locations. And again, this whole idea, it's kind of like a flywheel. And the first turn of that flywheel is really hard. It's the hardest one. And the second hardest one is the second turn. But the third hardest one is the, but this, so that's like the first turn of the flywheel. That's stage two. And then you get to stage three. And stage three is when you're really, I call it your stride. You found your stride. And if you're talking about like in a marathon, usually somewhere around the halfway point, about 13.1 miles in, you're going like, okay, this really sucks, but I'm going to make it. And you're finding your stride. And I think a couple things happen. You get clarity about the bigger picture of your apostolic calling. And I remember for me doing a life plan. I did a life plan, and it was kind of like the bullseye of everything that came out of that life plan was around multiplication. That's what it was. And the other thing that starts to happen is you begin in stage three, where you really find your stride as a multiplier. You start to see multiplication beyond you and your church. And for us, that happened through New Thing. We started planting churches across the country. We got a chance to plant churches internationally. And then you get to stage four in this life plan, life map of a multiplier, and that's scale. And all of a sudden, I mean, for us, that's when, I mean, over the next 15 years or so, we got to see ourselves be involved in planting over 35,000 churches in, you know, in like 60, almost 70 countries. And for the multiplier, when you get to scale, I think you find ways to start shifting the allocation of your time so that 70% is put in towards the movement and 30% is in kind of the stuff that somebody's got to do it. And a big part of your effort when you get to scale is involved in networks. You're not just reproducing leaders or churches, but now you're also reproducing networks that reproduce churches, reproduce leaders. And then the last stage, stage five in this life map of a multiplier, I call it SAGE, because that's when you become kind of a guide by the side. And you know, you're probably getting to do some of this, you know, too, Peyton, where it's kind of like people are coming to you and they're asking you questions and you'll find yourself saying things like, just do this. And they'll be like, why would I do this? And you'll go like, just trust me, just do it.
You know, Dean, point,
you've had enough experience. You just know because you know.
You know, Dave, I look old enough to be your dad. And I'm pretty sure I'm a little younger than you, but
that is true.
You know, when I started this whole journey, I was a Luke Skywalker. You know, now I'm Obi-Wan. Like, I'm not quite Yoda yet. You know, that's like Ralph Moore is a Yoda. You know,
we're still Obi-Wan. He's definitely a sage. That's exactly right.
Yeah, but I'm entering into that sage phase. I mean, I definitely have looked like it for the last few years, but yeah, man, it is, and it is so cool because that apostolic mobilizer in us still is like loves that, and the disciple making, like, this is the weird thing. When you hand a church off, right? And I've handed lots of churches off as a serial planner. They forget who you are. You come back 3 years later, so many people don't know who you are. You know, the Lord continues to work. Yeah. You were less important than you thought you were.
Oh, but, you want to hear a quick story on that one? So, you know, last May, I named Ted as the new lead pastor of community. Now, I had been there more than 30 years.
Right.
3 months later, August, I go to our all staff meeting because I'm still a founding pastor. I'm at all staff meeting, and one of our newer staff people, sweet as she could be, comes up to me, extends her hand, and says, "And who are you? And what do you do here?" I was like, "Wow, that did not take long."
But on the scale of, you know, community Christian, I mean, that's hilarious. It's a big church. But, you know, this is the thing. The churches that I planted may have forgotten who I were, but the people I discipled have never forgotten.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a great thought. That's true.
The people I poured into, like Jesus did the 12 and others, they never, ever, they look back, and you and I both have this, people that we would say they were multipliers of us. I can go back to a guy named Peter Jeffrey, who was Lloyd Jones's protege, poured into me, my youth pastor. Like, these are people for the rest of my life. It doesn't matter if now other people look to me, like a Paul, to their Timothy. Yeah. If I get around any of those people, I immediately am Timothy again. It's like this.
That's interesting. Because so like last night, Sue and I had dinner with our friends, Greg and Laura, and they were in one of the very first small groups that we had at community. And we'll be friends for our whole lives.
Amen.
But you're kind of like when I'm hanging out with Alan Hirsch, though.
Yeah.
I am a Timothy. Yeah. Like, I still get on the phone at least once a month or once every other month, and I call him my movement mentor just to check in, like, hey, here's what I'm thinking. You know, what is he thinking?
Yep.
Yeah, that's, I hadn't thought about that. That's good.
Yeah. But, you know, where you end in the chapter, it kind of goes like, because I know your fingers are spread out all over. The Lord's used not just exponential or new thing or community Christian, like all these things. You guys have been able to just reach all over the world, and not just geographically, but even organizationally, even across the body of Christ. And your final chapter is on one of my favorite themes that we ever did at Exponential, the great collaboration. Why did you think it was important to end on that note in the book?
I think that for multipliers, again, who healthy leaders create a lasting impact. If you want to leave a lasting impact, you're not going to do it on your own.
Mm.
Because it's going to happen in community. And the way we describe community for multipliers, it's going to be in these small networks, particularly for church leaders. It's going to be in small networks. Mm. And two things, when I say the smaller networks, I'm envisioning, and these are popping up all across the country, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 pastors who get together every month. And basically you're doing three things together. You're reviewing, like, what are our goals we're trying to accomplish on Brown Reproducing? And it's not a weird cult thing. It's because you want people to hold you accountable to do the stuff that you want to do. The second thing you're doing is you're eating together. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's dessert, maybe it's coffee, but if you can have a meal, nothing moves an acquaintance to a friendship like food. Yeah. And if you share a meal every month, you will become friends. And I know we share the same language. You'll be friends on mission. And that's what we want to see happen.
Amen.
And then we also try to introduce some extra training so that when you show up, hey, you leave a better leader than when you come. But I'm telling you, if every multiplier will be in some kind of a network, two things happen. One is it's good for your own health. There's research on this. But the second thing is it will dramatically increase the number of, like, the level at which you're reproducing. And if it's churches, the number of churches you're reproducing. So it accelerates that. So that's why I felt like it's really important to end with that. And in some ways also, our theme for next year, the working theme right now is called Never Alone. And the subtitle is Becoming Friends on Mission. And so what we're really kind of doing this back to back on, there it is right there, back to back on purpose, because we know the two things that we really have to have to accomplish the 16% mission is we need every person to begin to see as a part of their identity, they are a multiplier, which is what the book's about. And then next year, we're going to come back with, no, you can't do this on your own. You need to be friends on mission. And a lot of times what that looks like, either a small group or a network that you're a part of.
Yeah, next year, guys, this is exciting. Exponential is doing March 15th to 17th and March 18th to 20th for the first time ever, a double conference. So those tickets sell out really fast.
Well, okay, here you go. Here's the scoop. I don't think we've even told anybody this. The first conference is almost already sold out.
Wow.
So, I mean, and I want to be, we had to have a few less tickets this time, but we're close. Terry told me we're close to selling the first one. And I think we've already got almost 1,000, maybe more than 1,000 for the second one.
Yeah.
So, get in
there, guys. It's going to be Never Alone. It is the next step from what Dave has been talking about today. Multiplier is the book, How Healthy Leaders Create Lasting Impact. And guys, I want to encourage you to start this journey so that, like Dave said, it's not just about your health. It's about the health of the people around you who are going to multiply the health of the people around them. We are multiplying Christ-like disciples. And that's more important than anything we can talk about multiplying, because if you get that part right, you're going to get everything else. Everything else comes with it. We mentioned Alan, right? This is one of my favorite things about Alan Hirsch. I remember we were having a talk one night at dinner, and he was saying, don't be anything centered. Don't be gospel centered, which sounds weird when someone tells you that.
Oh, I love that riff. Go for it.
Don't be grace centered. He says, if you're going to be anything, be Christ centered, be Jesus centered. Because he said, if you have that, Peyton, everything else comes with it. And man, what a great place to end on, right? That's what you're saying in this book. There's Jesus at the heart of this. Again, the book, Multiplier, How Healthy Leaders Create Lasting Impact. It's climbing the charts, guys. It's hot. Definitely grab it. It will impact your life and the people around you. My guest today has been Dave Ferguson. I want to thank Dave on behalf of the Church Planner Podcast for giving this time to you. And I want to thank you for listening and giving us your time as well. Dave, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, thanks so much, Peyton.
All right, guys, this has been the Church Planner Podcast with Dave Ferguson, Multiplier, How Healthy Leaders Create Lasting Impact. And we want to remind you, if you want to reach the ones nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what no one's doing.